Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Alzheimer's Association, our focus this morning. We are going to talk about all kinds of things coming up, and we're going to talk about the disease and just it's good to do this several times a year, and that's what we're going to do this morning. Lori Myers is here from the Alzheimer's Association office, the local office, and Cindy Bowen is here. She is the coordinator of the Walked In Alzheimer's in October. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ted.
Cindy, I'm going to start with you because we'll just get this, put this right out front and get people thinking about it. The Walked In Alzheimer's is October 14th again this year. It is a big event. It was going to be at the University of Mary Washington again?
It is. We met with the president about a month ago and was thanking him for last year because he wasn't part of it.
Yeah.
And he's committed it to us for the foreseeable future. He wants his students to stay involved.
Great, great. It's a great event. It shows you the extent of the problem because you have so many people, whether they're people who are suffering, whether they're caregivers or family members. This is something that it's like cancer. It touches all of us.
It does. If you don't know someone, then you know someone who does have it.
So this is a time to start thinking about maybe a team.
It's a perfect time to start thinking about a team. We've got brain awareness in June, and then we've got the walk in October, and now's a good time to start raising funds, get your friends involved, and we've got a lot of good opportunities for team building coming up.
What are some of those things?
We're going to have we've got two people that are in charge of working with the captains, give them ideas of fundraising, give them ideas of how to grow the team, how to keep the team motivated. So we're going to be having like team pep rallies starting this summer and going into the fall.
Okay. You get a team together, you can walk on the day, and it's like you say, it's a chance to raise money, team build, but you're also helping out a cause that needs every dollar it can for research.
Yeah, the biggest thing is to raise money for research. But here in Fredericksburg, we decided last year that we really want to raise awareness. Mm-hmm. So we want to have maybe lunch and learns where people can come to Spring Arbor, where they can learn more about the disease, what are the warning signs, what's natural aging and what's Alzheimer's and how do you handle it and what are the resources available, which of course is where Lori comes in.
Lori, a lot of people may not be aware. You're the local representative with
Yes.
the Alzheimer's Association, the wide branching organization. It's the Alzheimer's Association of Richmond.
Correct.
But you're the Fredericksburg office here, and
Yes.
You're here with a lot of good information.
Lots of good information. We are part of the National Alzheimer's Association, but the local office is out of the Greater Richmond chapter, right across from Carl's Ice Cream. And we have some really good core services that we offer to anybody in the community. It can be somebody that just wants to know more about Alzheimer's or other types of dementia, or it could be that loved one who just got a diagnosis, or perhaps a family that's been dealing with a dementia disease for a while and is reaching out, you know, for more help.
Well, those are dark days when you first get that word because
Yes.
you know what's ahead of you.
Yes, you know, it is very emotional. It's important to get a firm diagnosis, but with that comes, you know, just trying to accept it emotionally. And as a family and as an individual, getting the diagnosis, and then also knowing what are some really good things that we need to do moving forward. Some planning, the education piece is huge, understanding what does it mean to have Alzheimer's? You know, what am I looking at? You know, how can we pull together as a family? So we're looking to help not only that family, but also that individual with a diagnosis, you know, once something like that's made.
We're going to talk as we go along this morning about some of the warning signs. But when you do get that diagnosis, I would think one of the first things you want to do is maybe see what kind of services and what kind of information you have after
Yes.
After you hear those awful words from a doctor.
Exactly. So the hope would be that they would get connected with us, that the physician's office would be saying, hey, there is a local chapter. A lot of times it's word of mouth through a neighbor or a friend who has been down the road that will say, do you know there's a local chapter? Mm-hmm. I think that is a great first step, because we certainly can't change the diagnosis itself, but we can certainly, you know, support that family and let them know what's available here in the community, not only by what we offer, but also in the community in general. We have a wonderful supportive community.
Well, and as awful as the diagnosis is, I'm sure one of the things that has to give you hope, and you're able to do a lot of great things for the caregivers and for the families.
You know, I agree with that, and thank you for that. Yes, our services are at no charge. We can sit down with the family and talk about where they're at. So we meet them wherever they are, mm-hmm. Get a plan in place. We encourage families to be proactive. So we're going to help them look down the road, not just what's going on right now, but down the road, you know, mm-hmm. what are some things that we need to be doing? And we can do that over the phone as well. But we also have support groups, because, you know, that support, that ongoing support day in and day out, is really important as well. And meeting other folks that are dealing with this, either as a person with a diagnosis or another care partner who understands exactly what it's like. Their situation might be a little different. So, you know, those are peers, those are people that understand. That's very important, because it's a long journey, and you have to have that support along the way.
And to hear stories from other people and people that are dealing with it, you just can't beat that.
You know, you're right. I even have some caregivers that have recently lost a loved one, and they stay involved in that support group because they feel like they've been through it. They feel like they've got something to give back, some suggestions. So that means a lot as well, even when that loved one's gone, to be able to help that other person who may be at a point they were at one point, and someone was there for them. So I think it's part of the healing process too.
Well, and you keep hearing stories about different drugs that mm-hmm. are getting mm-hmm. us a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. Or I hear from people who have family members that are dealing with this, and they do talk that drugs today are able to do a little bit more than they did in the past.
Well, we do have some FDA-approved things. And for some people, there's a noticeable change for a period of time. Maybe some additional clarity. The family may report, you know, a lessening of the symptoms. So I think there's value in those FDA-approved medications, but it doesn't change the ultimate result.
No ultimate right now.
So that's where I think people need to know there are medications out there. They're valuable. If your doctor says to take them, there's value in taking them. But as a community, we need to understand we do not have a cure. Yeah. And that's where the call to action comes in for all of us.
Yeah. And we're going to get into a lot of the things that are offered through the local office, and talk about some things that are coming up, because a number of exciting events coming up besides the walk on October 14th. Lori Myers here, Cindy Bowen here, the Alzheimer's Association, the local, your local options, our focus this morning. ALZ.org is the website. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lori Myers, Cindy Bowen here this morning. We're talking about the Alzheimer's Association and events and things going on, and things to look at. We'll get into some of the warning signs as we go along this morning. Lori, this is it June is Brain Health Month?
Yes, June is an important month. It's Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month.
Brain Awareness Month.
So, you know, we're focusing, certainly, you know, our awareness focuses year-round, but specifically right now, we're looking into June. There's some things happening just to bring attention to the education piece. So with that being said, we actually have, you know, the walk is certainly our signature event, but we have an additional event that certainly we want people to know about. It's going to be the longest day. June 21st is our longest day. And the thought being, if you're a caregiver, every day is a long day.
Yeah.
So we kind of highlight caregivers in the month of June, and we talk about what that's like. So we have longest day events going on, and we also just have the whole month of June, you know, where purple to work. Let's get, you know, the education going. And we also have, this will be our second year, and I think we came and talked about this last year. On June 24th, we're going to paint downtown Fredericksburg purple. And it was a great event last year.
Yeah.
It was a little on the warm side, but that's okay. We all came, the whole development committee came dressed in purple. We encouraged folks to come downtown, shop downtown. But with that, it's an awareness day, and we are currently recruiting businesses for downtown Fredericksburg to decorate their storefront. However they feel, you know, certainly throw some purple in there. And we are once again going to have a winner, the number one person or business to be mm-hmm. voted the best dressed storefront. And that will be happening, the voting for that will be happening on June 24th, along with some other things downtown.
So the longest day is the 21st. The 24th
is the event itself yes.
downtown. And boy, what a great way to get the message out. The purple is the Alzheimer's color.
Yes, you know that is our color. We certainly would love to have people look at purple and think Alzheimer's.
Yeah,
you know that really make that connection. So it is very much an awareness month. It's an awareness day on the 24th. We are going to have not only the businesses participating, but we're going to have stations throughout downtown Fredericksburg. There are activity stations where you can learn more about the disease, play a game, learn something more, and perhaps win a prize. And so it's really going to be a great day. And we want people to be educated. I think everybody needs to understand this disease.
Well, and it's. I think we need to be reminded of it, even if you've had a family member who has suffered from this, and it whether it's going on now or it's mm-hmm. it's happened in the past, it's good to continue to get the word out of what's being done, what's available
yes.
here,
yes.
and just remind people of the awfulness.
Yeah, I think people need to understand first of all, just, you know, what are the warning signs? A lot of people say, what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
What is the difference?
All right, we're gonna end that now. Alzheimer's is the most commonly diagnosed type of dementia. In other words, Alzheimer's is dementia.
Okay, it is a dementia.
It is one of the dementias. And if I go in and get tested and they say probable Alzheimer's, that diagnosis is going to be given 70 to 80% of the time. So there's other dementias out there, but they're less common. So
okay.
Alzheimer's really is the most common type of dementia. And if someone gets diagnosed and the doctor maybe isn't sure which one and they just say you have some dementia going on, that's still a serious
yeah.
situation. And I think sometimes people don't understand that unless it's a dementia that's treatable, like a delirium or something where you go and get
okay.
treated. There's a progression going on. And so if I ended up getting just a diagnosis of dementia, I would want to push for further testing because I want to know exactly what's going on so that I can educate myself and my family. So that's the deal.
Well, because as soon as you hear that, you always just assume, well, dementia, that must mean Alzheimer's. And like you said, it usually does.
Correct. Yeah, most of the time. But there can be some heart-related things going on. There's some other dementias that are rare form that are the reasons for the changes, you know, thinking changes and behavior changes. But I think, you know, a firm diagnosis allows us not only to understand, but also to plan. And there's some acceptance that needs to go along with that. So the more we know, the more we can begin to accept it.
How big a part does family history play into this? Because I know people where it has been mm-hmm. in a family
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they are just in perpetual fear.
Correct. And so if you have a family history, if you have a grandparent or a parent or a sibling or more than one, it does increase your risk. There's definitely a family history there, but it doesn't predict it. So in other words, you could have a family history and still never develop the disease. I've also had folks that have a diagnosis of dementia and no family history. So we know it increases our risk, but it doesn't predict it. I think that's where if we've got several family members that have been diagnosed, you know, we want to make sure we're doing everything we can in regards to our lifestyle changes. I can't change my family history, but I can change, am I exercising or not?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a smoker, maybe I should stop smoking. All those things that are good for our heart are good for our brain. And those are the things that we have control over.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that too,
okay.
brain health too,
yes.
as we go along. I forgot what I was going to ask you about.
It's okay.
We were just so, but that's a good that kind of leads into some of the warning signs.
So,
because
mm-hmm.
what are we can overthink sometimes, can't we? That we all of a sudden, I can't remember the question I had for you. Oh no,
I'm
on that slippery slope.
Right. So there's normal aging. You know, all three of us in this room are aging. So there's normal aging where we occasionally do forget a word, or we lose that train of thought for a minute, or gosh, where's my keys? Some of those things are just normal and we're able to retrace and that word pops up or we find our keys.
Yeah.
So there's normal aging and there's something that's a bit more than that. So, you know, we don't want to panic. We don't want to assume anything. So if I'm having some memory loss, and it's not the occasional issue, it's where it really starts to affect me every day. I'm forgetting what people have told me. I'm forgetting I'm supposed to be meeting somebody. I'm forgetting how to do things around the house. Then that's a red flag where I need to think, do I want to assume it's dementia and I don't do anything about it, or do I go talk to my doctor? So those are the things where we want to, you know, certainly be aware if there's some changes that begin to add up, but not assume anything either. So yeah. The 10 warning signs. Memory loss is a hallmark sign for Alzheimer's, and it's not the occasional, I forgot what I was going to ask. I mean, that happens when we're busy. But it's where we really start to have moments where we truly don't remember information that was given to me. So if Cindy and I are meeting here this morning, God forbid if I totally forgot that, it truly, it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. That information doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a change in functioning for me. So we're looking at where have we functioned, you know, we're at a certain level, and now we're not there anymore. We're struggling with the memory. We're struggling with organizing and planning and just doing those multitasking things. If that's a big change for somebody, something's happening to create that change in functioning.
Yeah.
So we need to take a second look at it.
And I guess taking that second look then is setting up and going to see, do you just go see your regular doctor and then they'll then send you on to someone else?
I think if someone's having some issues, we want to start with that primary care doctor.
Okay.
Because there are reversible dementias. There are things that are happening for somebody, whether it's dehydration, an infection, depression, you know, medications are interacting. There's so many things that can present potentially like a dementia that are treatable. So we want to start with that primary care physician, get a good physical, get some blood work done to rule out a vitamin deficiency, thyroid. There's so many things that we can treat. But in order to do that, we have to be honest with our doctor about what we're experiencing.
Boy, and that would be tough because I could see where I don't want to hear that. So maybe I don't tell you everything.
Right. Or if the doctor says, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Because that's safe. I'm scared inside maybe or nervous, but I'm not ready. So that's where that encouragement from friends or maybe the spouse or the family, and that's also where that the other parties can start writing a few things down that they're noticing so that together we can go and talk about it. It may not be Alzheimer's. It could be a host of other things, but we don't know till we go.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess you can't go in with the attitude of, they're all wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Lay it all out there and see if that's the case.
And sometimes if we know our loved one's a bit touchy and they're a bit anxious and there's some anxiety, we may want to still share what we're seeing as the other parties involved privately. So what does that look like? Find out from the doctor. Can I send you an email? Can I talk with you privately for a few moments? Because the doctor needs that information. But if we talk about the person, you know, in the office with that person, that's a dignity issue.
Yeah.
And they're going to push back. And it's not going to get us the result, you know, the end result that we're looking for. So sometimes that's good to do privately.
Boy, these are tough things, too, because we can talk about them here just kind of generally.
Right.
But when you start talking about that, I mean, it's like with your parents and having to say you shouldn't be driving anymore.
This is
even worse.
This is so hard. You know, I can say the things I just said and the families nod their head, but to actually do it with a loved one, it takes bravery. You have to be brave and you have to be strong. And you have to know that you're doing it with love. Even if you get pushback, you're doing it with love. And, you know, it's the next step. But there's nothing easy about it. But we're here to help people talk through it when they're ready to talk and have that conversation and give them some strategies, tips.
One of the things, I know there's a 24/7 national hotline, 800-272-3900.
Yes.
The number for your local office?
Yes, the number here locally is 540- 370 0835, and I now have an extension. It's 8407. So they can call the local office, or they can call that 800 number. It's available day or night, you know, when it's convenient for them. It might not be when we're in the office, and they can get connected.
Okay. 540-370-0835, extension 8407.
Yes.
We'll get you in touch with a lot of the local things. And I think people would be surprised at what is available, Lori, here locally.
I think, you know, this is a brand new journey for everybody when you first start out.
Yeah.
It's new territory. And I think we often do get, you know, that comment from families, gosh, I just didn't know how much is available here. So there is help. It's a phone call away, but we have to be willing to make that call.
540-370-0835, extension 8407. Lori Meyer, Cindy Bowen here. We're talking about the Alzheimer's Association and what is available around here and for you and for caregivers and for anyone that needs help. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We're coming up on 830.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Lori Myers and Cindy Bowen here. We're talking about the work of the Alzheimer's Association in the community. ALZ.org is the website. And if you want to get a hold of Lori in her office, 540-370-0835, extension 8407. Cindy is the for the second year will be the chairperson for the Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's October 14th, and we'll talk about that again before we get out of here. Cindy's also with Spring Arbor in this area, and as we talked in the last segment, just talked about a lot of things. I mean, you I guess see a lot of at Spring Arbor and the counselors and the people you've got there. You're dealing, you know, firsthand, I guess, with people in this situation.
We do. We at Spring Arbor, we've got two sides of the house, if you will. One side is the assisted living, and some of those residents are pleasantly confused. They do have some dementia, but they're still safe.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when they get to where they're not safe, they do move over to the cottage, which is our secured area. A very nice environment, very loving, very bright. Brightness is very important. We try to keep them active with different types of activities throughout the day. We do see a lot. Unfortunately, we see them decline. It's hard, but you know, being in a loving environment can help them with that journey, and the families
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Well, and for both of you, Lori, a lot of people, because when someone is diagnosed and they start going down this mm-hmm. road, everybody's different how they react. Some people I know get angry or will get very. Personalities do change.
Right. So somebody who was very quiet, their personality may change. There may be more of a boisterous, change in personality. Other people stay, you know, the way they are. It just really depends. Everybody's different. If you've seen one person with Alzheimer's or any kind of dementia, you've seen one. But it's hard for families because they have that history with the person. They remember mom and dad when, or that spouse. So you've got all those memories. And then there's changes with the disease, and it makes it really difficult when you're so personally connected. It's difficult as a professional to see that, but it's even more difficult when, gosh, you remember when mom was a life of the party, type A, she could, you know, put a dinner party together, and then we see her struggling, mm-hmm. you know, with some basic things. That's difficult. And for some people, you know, they have trouble being around mom now that she's like that. And for other people, it's just painful to visit. So that's where if we can support them, help them understand, mom's still mom deep down. Mm-hmm. It's just some of the outward things are changing. Some of the abilities are changing, but she's still mom in her heart.
Yeah. No, it's well, you watch something like the movie The Notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that, and you see the struggle, and you can identify. Mm-hmm. You can identify with the family that just kind of wants to stay away, it seems.
Yes.
And yet, boy, there are just no easy answers to any of this.
There isn't. And in each family, we all have a family. We all have family dynamics. And with a disease like this presents itself, everybody has their way of coping. Some people do stay away. We certainly encourage families to pull together, figure out who can be involved in what way. But it's difficult. And so typically there are some family members that are more involved than others. And we're just there to help all family members, you know, do the best they can to accept it. But it's an ongoing loss. You know, it's a loss from who that person was. It's almost easier for me in a way because I'm meeting that person right where they are, that day they come in the office or when I meet with them. And it's easier to accept that person.
Yeah.
For where they are right then, as opposed to family who struggle with the loss of who they were.
This just occurs to me. I just thought of this out of the blue and wonder maybe if it will help the cause or at least getting the word out. There are so many NFL players now that are being diagnosed and a lot of well-known players from years past because of head injuries. Mm-hmm. And you just think this is pointing more emphasis.
Yes.
On Alzheimer's and people getting this, and it's something that anybody can get.
Yeah, and that's really important. I commend those folks that are getting that diagnosis. You know, certainly NFL players, have, you know, those that have a history of concussion, some of them are having cognitive issues. They're speaking out. You know, they're stepping up, putting themselves in the limelight a little bit to create awareness.
Yeah.
And I think every time somebody famous takes that brave step, they're getting people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's even someone that didn't really know very much about it, but all of a sudden they're hearing this famous person talk about it. It becomes less stigmatized. It becomes more, let's just have the conversation. And I think it does get people talking. And I think it's a very brave thing to do. And I think it's really important.
We were talking in the last segment about some of the warning signs, and I know we just touched on a couple of them.
Right. So memory loss is hallmark with Alzheimer's. Having changes in our ability to organize, multitasking. If that is there's a sudden change there, and some simple things are becoming more difficult. We certainly want to ask that question. Some people have trouble with their vision. They start to have trouble concentrating. And if you think about it, driving, you really need to be able to see clearly and react clearly. So a lot of times maybe a driving accident may actually be a huge warning sign that the vision is not what it was and the reaction time. Some people have trouble with communication as well. You know, they know what they want to say, they go to talk, and it's just really hard to complete that sentence. So we start out, you know, correctly, and then the thought or whatever it was that we wanted to say is gone. And that's very frustrating. Misplacing things, and certainly we all do that, but really not being able to retrace it. I really have no idea where something went. That's a bit of a concern. And that's not the occasional misplacing something. That's where we're just starting to have trouble daily with managing that.
Yeah.
The mood and personality change, I think, can be a huge flag, too. You know, mom's always been easygoing. She's more irritable. She's cranky. There's just something going on. She's not herself. You know, we want to ask, you know, what might be going on that mom's now more anxious. She used to be pretty low key, and we're just seeing a lot of changes that make us wonder what's happening.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of these, I guess it's easy for us to come up with excuses or to say, well, it's because I'm tired or I've been kind of busy, been kind of stressful. So as you see a pattern of this, I guess you need to be honest with yourself or family members need to be honest.
Right. So, you know, if we start to see more of it, I encourage people to just get a spiral notebook and just start jotting down some notes. Because it can be very subtle at the beginning. It can just be occasionally a change. But the more we document and keep track, the more we start to see perhaps a pattern. Certainly, there can be good days and bad days with this disease. But it will help in having that conversation with the individual and going to the doctor if we've got some track record, so to speak, of some changes that we're seeing.
Yeah.
But it's not easy. It's very subtle. Our information tells us that the brain itself begins to change a good 15 to 20 years before we even start seeing these red flags. And it's very subtle. And it can be, oh, they're just tired. They've had a long day. Maybe I don't see mom a lot. Maybe I just talk to her on the phone. Maybe I visit periodically. It may take a while to connect the dots to where, wait, no, there might be something going on than just a bad day.
Well, and that's where we talk before holidays, and I guess it's one thing you can even mention that, you know, if you're going to see people, you're going to see parents over the summer, because it's easy to you can't always judge by a phone call.
Exactly.
How are things going? Oh, everything's fine.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Everything's fine.
Exactly. So yeah, if you're having a summer vacation, Father's Day, a holiday, summertime get together, that is sometimes where, gosh, if we haven't seen mom or dad in a while, something may begin to emerge, and we certainly don't want to ignore that. And sometimes it takes a while to pick up on something. You know, a couple hour visit on a Sunday looks different than spending the weekend, where you might really start to see some changes when you're there more than a short period of time. So it's also about families communicating. You know, if somebody lives closer and is seeing more of them, having that conversation with that sibling that's there a couple of times a year, and just, you know, pulling together and saying, yeah, let's decide whether or not we need to move forward on this.
Mm. We are talking about the Alzheimer's Association this morning. Lori Myers here, Cindy Bowen here, as we talk about the work in the community of the Alzheimer's Association. We talked a few minutes ago just about, you talk about brain health, and there are things, I guess there are foods you can do, you can be physically active.
Yes.
A lot of those kind of things.
You know, we really are pushing, you know, that information, because what's good for the heart is good for the mind. We actually have a program, a community program that we offer it's for folks that don't have a diagnosis, where they look at some of those core components in their life. Those lifestyle changes, lifestyle choices that we have control over. Diet, you know, they say the Mediterranean diet's really good, the DASH diet. They talk about lifelong learning, you know, stretching our brain, you know, learning something new.
My father-in-law always did crossword puzzles.
Those are hard, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, you know, forcing yourself to do that, or the Sudoku or whatever, doing a, you know, an elder study, you know, just learning something new is really important. We also know that if someone does smoke, please quit. We know that, you know, not smoking is definitely important. Social activities, being engaged with others, being home and being isolated is not good for any of us. And when you're older, there's more of a chance you might be in that situation. Spouses die, you know, you start to lose friends. So we want to encourage people to stay socially engaged. It's good for your brain. Whether it's attending that church, you know, study, doing something where you're involved with other people, something where you're part of your local community. So those are some things. And also getting enough sleep. They talk about, you know, getting enough sleep. Not getting enough sleep may result in problems with memory and thinking. So, you know, make sure
go to bed at night.
That's the, you're now being given permission. Yeah, get a good night's sleep. So all of those things are tied in, and it's never too late or too early to incorporate those habits.
Technically, I guess what happens, or it's some kind of a plaque gets into your brain.
So the Alzheimer's has plaque that gets into the brain cells, creates a tangled situation, and actually destroys the brain cell.
Okay.
So that's the thing we're fighting. And so everybody, you know, some people have plaques and tangles, and they have Alzheimer's, and they have symptoms. But there was a nun study done years ago where women in the same, you know, convent setting, they looked at two brains, one brain of somebody with plaques and tangles that had symptoms, and the other brain of somebody who had plaques and tangles and no symptoms. Okay, so we know it can cause dementia, but not everybody that has. This is where we're still you know, searching. You
yeah.
know? So, you know, for Alzheimer's, many times it is the plaques and tangles. They do the damage. So wherever those brain cells have died, that area of our brain is no longer functioning. So it's no wonder we start to have more and more issues. It's that progression that we can't stop that, you know, eventually leads to someone being in the late stages.
Does Alzheimer's kill you, or is it, because I had always thought that it was just, it might be pneumonia or things on the side, but you told me the last time, I think, that no, that Alzheimer's can kill you.
Well, what happens is our brain controls everything about our body. So if I'm in the late stages, I'm losing, my organs are not functioning, they're starting to fail. My immune system is extremely poor. My brain gets to the point, unfortunately, where I lose mobility, even the ability to chew and swallow. And so the Alzheimer's disease does the damage to the brain that makes it a disconnect with the body. So then if
it's
I pick up
a,
my immune system is shot. So if I pick up a pneumonia or something else, I can't fight it off.
Yeah.
So many times, you know, it'll be a secondary, But if I didn't have Alzheimer's, I would have been able, maybe been able to fight that off. But because of the, you know, the damage with the disease, it does lead to, it leads to death, unfortunately.
Still waiting. It will be such an exciting day when that word comes that there's been some kind of a breakthrough to do a show.
Amen. And, you know, Cindy and I have talked about, you know, we're waiting for that first survivor.
Yeah.
You know?
Boy,
We're waiting for
Never
that first
that.
Survivor. And that will be a day of all days.
Now, and you think about it, where we've come with cancer and so many other things, and you just hope that it's just a matter of time.
I really believe we'll get there. I know we're going to get there. It just can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, yeah. For so many families and so many families just on a daily basis, and around here, you probably it's weekly. Somebody's getting that awful word.
Yeah, unfortunately, every 66 seconds. So, you know, I think as a society, we really, you know, this is an awakening. It's a call to action. And that's why this awareness month for June and having the walk is just additional opportunities for people to realize we need to pull together.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that when we come back, the longest day and the painting the town purple and all of that, and the walk to end Alzheimer's. We'll wrap this up by talking about all that when we come back. Lori Meyer, Cindy Bowen here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shuler.
Lori Myers and Cindy Bowen here. It's the Alzheimer Association is what we're focusing on. The Alzheimer's Association of Greater Richmond oversees our area, and Lori oversees the office here. It's right across from Carl's, and I guess Lori, people can come in, they can call you, and whatever works.
Right, so they can stop by. If I am there, doors open, I'll stop whatever I'm doing, and we'll have that conversation. If they want to set up an appointment, they can do that, just like you would for your doctor's office. I'll be there at 1 o'clock, fine, and we take as much time as we need.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of us knowing that they want to talk, and they need some help. And there's no charge for what we do.
The number again to get a hold of you?
540-370-0835. 35, and then you punch in extension 8407.
And you're in the General Washington Center there.
Yes, used to be a hotel.
Yes.
Big white pillars. It's fun. I've had a couple people come in and say they used to work there, or they used to come to the dances there. It's got a lot of good history.
So anyway, the local Alzheimer's stuff, I know you've got brochures of things, and you've got, there are support groups in this area, and there are all kinds of things.
We're fortunate at least once a week to have a support group in the area, and we actually do have two that meet where the care partner can come as well as the person with the diagnosis. So, you know, that's a big focus on that support, ongoing support. And they don't have to RSVP if they see it in the paper or they see it online. They can just come. But certainly if there are questions around that. But it's typically a small, confidential group with a trained leader involved.
And we haven't talked about it, but I know one of the things that you are most concerned about always is just caregivers and how difficult they have it and how they need to take time off and just...
Yes.
Take care of themselves.
Yes, I do. You know, this is certainly affects the whole family. Certainly the person with the diagnosis is of utmost concern. But that care partner, as the disease progresses, their responsibilities, their stress level, their fatigue level will increase as well. And there will be a point in the disease where it's too big for one person. So that's where we're looking at what family can come in, neighbors, professional help. You know, maybe there's a fork in the road where it's time for a community placement like Spring Arbor. And it's not that they're not doing a good job. It's the nature of the disease and the progression.
And Cindy, your involvement with Spring Arbor, you, I know, have to have seen situations where it's where people belong there. And it's hard for families to make the move, to decide, you know, mom or dad has to be here now.
Oh, it's very difficult. Your parents have always been the leader of the family.
Yeah.
And now they can't be that leader, but you still, it's hard for the child to tell mom, no, you have to go. But what they need to do is really focus on that tough love that we had as teenagers, where we didn't want to do something, but for the good of us, we were made to do it. Well, now sometimes you need to do that with your parents. You need to have mom or dad in a safe environment where they're going to thrive rather than be alone, no socialization, and they could possibly hurt themselves.
Yeah, boy, that's a good word.
And you talk about that, and that's where if you're the child and you're educated and you know about the disease and you know how it progresses, you can feel more comfortable being the advocate, knowing that this is going to get more difficult.
Yeah.
And that's where the education piece is so important.
The Walk to End Alzheimer's around here will be October 14th at the University of Mary Washington. And we'll, when we get closer, we'll get into a lot more of the details. But this is the time to start thinking about putting a team together.
Absolutely. Go on alz.org/walk. Look for Fredericksburg. Go ahead and sign up now. Get involved. We've got a tremendous team here that's on the committee, and we all would be more than willing to help anyone that wants to be associated with us.
You always have a big amount, and you've been making it in recent years. You know, been getting close at least.
We have hit our goal for the last year, and we're on target for this year. Last year, I will tell you, we hit it on December 31st at 12 noon.
Well, 12 hours to spare. Not a problem. So again, it's October 14th, the Walk to End Alzheimer's. Go to alz.org/walk. Then the longest day is the 21st. Around here on the 24th, Lori, is when you've got something going on downtown.
Yes. Paint downtown Fredericksburg purple between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Come downtown, wear some purple, go see the stores that have decorated, hit the activity stations, be a part of the excitement, be a part of the energy and the awareness. We'd love to have you.
And vote for the winner.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, so yes, the winner actually, compliments of the station, there's going to be a first place prize of some advertisement with B101.5.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I did not know that. So again, that is the 24th. Is that a Saturday?
It's a Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Saturday the 24th is paint the town purple. And you can do that and learn more about the Alzheimer's Association. Again, the walk is October 14th, alz.org. 540-370-0835, extension 8407 is Lori Myers' number for the office here in Fredericksburg. Lori and Cindy, thank you so much. We will see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
That's it. Thanks for listening this morning. We'll see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.